Might have one more lesson after this in the book of Proverbs. We've talking about different characters that we find in the book of Proverbs, and this morning we're going to talk about pride, the prideful individual, those that are proud. Pride is defined by Webster as inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, in beauty, in wealth, in accomplishments, in rank or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. It's also rude treatment of others, loftiness, or ostentation. Now, those are some big definitions there. We all know what a proud individual looks like, what he talks like, what he acts like. And it's an offense. It's not only offense to a fellow man, but to God. The Bible says that God resists the proud. Yes. I think that's over in the book of James. James maybe 4:6, but he resists the proud. And that word picture is that it's not just like, you know, don't talk to me kind of thing. It's like pushing that person away from you. God resists the proud, yes. But he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Those that are high and lifted up, he knows how to abase. And the Bible's full of examples of that. And those that are humble, he exalts, the Bible says. And so there's much instruction in the Bible about pride. And before we get into the book of Proverbs, I had you turn there, but we'll just get just a quick idea here. Pride, we know that it comes from the fallen heart of man. It's fleshly, it's selfish. The Bible says that for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed all of these evil things, and pride is one of them. By the way, pride is always something about selfishness and being self-centered, and the middle letter, P-R-I-D-E, in the middle of pride is I. The middle letter of sin is I. It's all about me, myself, and I. And the prideful individual takes no thought of his neighbor or his fellow man. Pride was one of the chief sins of Sodom. Pride, idleness, and fullness of bread. Ezekiel 16:49. And that led them to that base wickedness of sodomy.
Yes, that's right.
When you're full, when you're prideful, and when you have an abundance of time, you're going to get involved in things that you probably should. And so the Bible tells us that one of the chief ideas of the Christian in 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's one of those things that we are to not try to excel at. It's one of those things, just as God, we're trying to repel from our life. Whenever we see pride swelling up in us, we need to learn to try to put it down. God hates it, and he judges it. And we know that the wicked, they are proud. Sorry, they're proud, and we're going to look at many examples of that in the scriptures. Pride will harden the mind. Pride, it's just something that should not be named among those that call themselves Christians. A man's pride shall bring him low, the Bible says. And if you think, who is the lowest of them all? The devil.
Right.
As a serpent on his belly. Can you get much lower than that? And what was the sin? Pride. He wanted to exalt himself. I will be like the Most High, he said. I, all about me, myself, and I. And in the garden, what happened in the garden? It's a fruit to be desired to make one wise. And you start thinking, oh, if I was just wise, how people would look at me.
Yes.
What people would think about me. And that pride starts welling up.
Yes.
And it's all part of us. We all can fall into this trap of being prideful. Even in individuals' humility, they can still be prideful. They can be prideful of their humility. And so, listen, it's just something that we need to be aware of. And hopefully a lot of this will bring it to the light. Remember Pharaoh, just some examples. Pharaoh, he was, who is the Lord?
Yes.
You know, I am the Lord. I am the king. I am Pharaoh. Look at my land. This is what I rule. Another great example is over in Daniel chapter 4. You don't have to turn there, but you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he was great, and he walked upon his rooftop there of his palace, and he was like, look at what I have done. And what did God do? God brought him low, very low. You know what? Turn there real quick. Daniel 4. Let's go to Daniel 4, 28, verse 28. If you turned there when I mentioned Ezekiel, you're not far. One book to the right. Daniel 4. So let's look here in verse 28. The Bible says this. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And you know what? It was a good lesson for him. And sometimes we have to take a lesson in eating what we call humble pie. And when we think we're proud, and God will make us eat of this humble pie. But look at what it did for Nebuchadnezzar at the end of those 7 years. Verse 36, at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He knew it, firsthand experience, amen. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So we see an example in Nebuchadnezzar. We see it in the devil. We see it also, turn to the book of Acts. Here's another one, maybe a New Testament example. The book of Acts chapter 12 of Herod. Acts chapter 12. Here in Acts 12 in verse 21. Oh, by the way, there's many examples, you know. One that I wanted to look at, but for sake of time. Do you remember the book of Esther? Haman? You remember how proud Haman was and how he just thought that the king was going to promote him. He just thought so much of himself, and he looked down on Mordecai and just as like a flea in his eyes. But what happened in the end, if you're familiar with the story? The gallows that he made for Mordecai, he was hung on.
Yes.
He ended up dying, and his house was pulled down. But he was just such a proud individual. Acts 12, verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. There it was. Listen, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Yes. But if somebody is praising you in such a fashion as that, no. Remember when, it's probably right in this chapter too, when Peter was preaching and they said, he's like a god. And they wanted to fall down and worship him. And he said, get up. I'm just a man. Worship God. Let's not take the glory that belongs to our Father, to ourself.
Amen.
Amen. And there's other examples. Well, the Antichrist is going to be a great example. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, what does the Bible say there? 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, remember he's trying to exalt himself. 2 Thessalonians, where are you? Before Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we know he'll be taken down. So, all right, let's go over to the book of Proverbs now and just look at some of the verses in Proverbs. Let's start in Proverbs 6, please. Proverbs 6. Because again, this study is trying to stay focused in the book of Proverbs, and there's a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs. So as we try to get some more insights here, it's just, pride is just so detestable in the eyes of God.
Yes.
He hates the proud. Proverbs 6, and let's look at verse 16, the Bible says this. These six things doth the Lord hate. And by the way, the Lord does hate some things.
Yes.
I mean, his love, his great love that everybody wants to magnify, which is wonderful, it completes itself by that which he hates.
Yes.
That which is evil, that which is unrighteous, that which is defiled, that which is unholy. Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And that means it makes him sick. He wants to throw up. What's the very first one? A proud look. That look that oftentimes when the chin is elevated, you know, when those that are humble, you know, they're oftentimes their eyes are down. Just their posture speaks of them being humble. The proud look is that one that's up and the nose is pointed up. In their eyes, they look down upon you. Do you remember in Luke chapter 18, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men are, and this and that. I tithe, and I do this, and I'm not like this publican. He compared himself to somebody else. And the Bible says, and the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who went down to the house justified? The publican. Because he recognized his stance before God.
Yes.
But look here, a proud look.
Yes.
The very first thing that we see, it's just, God hates pride, amen? And there are many things that we too as believers should hate. And pride is one of them. And I think there's a verse over in Psalms. Let me see. I wrote Psalm 119. I can read it if you're not quick enough to get there. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If it's a false way, I don't want nothing to do with it. Look at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Those vain thoughts, and vain thoughts are often thoughts of pride.
Right.
Because pride is in and of itself, it's empty. It has no substance to it. It's like a great swelling cloud, the Bible says, with no rain.
Right.
It's big, it's puffed up, it looks like it's going to do something, but it has no substance to it. Or like a gong that you'd hit and it's just an empty sound, just whang. Look at verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And that's a great place to start, amen. Let's just believe the Bible that it's right. If God's word says it, it's right.
Yes.
And I hate every false way. And we're learning about a way right now that is false, and that's the way of those who walk in pride.
Yes.
Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Amen? So there's the contrast there. So let's go back to the book of Proverbs now, Proverbs chapter 8. So we see that God hates this. He resists it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He cast Lucifer out of heaven because of it. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord, by the way, which we already learned is what? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. The verses say both, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy, and again, arrogancy, it's tightly connected there with pride, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And so, we should have nothing to do with it. Proverbs 14. God resists it. Proverbs 14. And verse 3. Remember who we've always been warned about who to watch out for? The fool. We don't want to be like the fool. And a lot of these character traits that we've been looking at, contrast them to the negative, which is the fool. Well, here's the fool again. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. It's strong. It's stout. The fool is a prideful individual. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Okay, so keep away from it. Proverbs 16. It's foolish. Now, again, trying to understand the heart and the mind of God concerning this matter, that's why we compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:20 that it's to be precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That's how we learn and that's how we understand. And that's what this time of Sunday school is for. Proverbs 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Again, it makes him sick. If you're proud, again, the heart always makes its way to what? The hand. And the inside is going to make its way out. And if I have pride in my heart, I'm going to have pride in my life and pride in my walk. Proverbs 21. The Bible just flat out calls it sin. Yeah. Proverbs 21 verse 4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Yeah. Is sin. It's sin. So it's very detestable. God resists it. God hates it. It's an abomination to him, and we should hate it too, especially not only when we see it in others, because that's just automatic. Our flesh will do that, and then we'll try to, but then we got to be careful because, what's that? Because it'll come back to us then, and then we start, no, it needs to be put down. We need to hate it in ourselves. Pride causes man to be deceived. A proud man, he tries to reason that he alone is the standard and that he alone is the measure for whatever he is judging in his daily life. That his viewpoint, his answer to the problem is the only one and none else should be considered. Because the proud person thinks he's so very wise and he has this knowledge. But sometimes it's too late. Proverbs 16. Turn there. Proverbs 16 and verse 19, the Bible says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And so it's important who you choose to have in your company, whether out in the community, whether on the job site, Who is it that, and how are they influencing me? Am I running around with a group that's proud? Am I running around with a group that's humble? Sometimes we get put in situations that we don't want to be in, but where is my desire lie? Who are the type of people that I want to be around? Do I want to divide the spoil with the proud? The Bible says it's better to be with the humble in spirit. The Bible says that the rich man is wise in his own conceit. Pride, it's subtle at times, and we need to be careful. Proverbs 25, turn there. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, and let's look at verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. Remember, when we begin to start searching for our own glory and then we begin lifting ourselves up above others, and it can happen in church settings, it can happen in Christian homes, because we have standards and we have boundaries, but our outward obedience is not inward righteousness. Remember that. Our outward obedience is not inward righteousness, because righteousness is on the inside. And just because I do certain things and don't do certain things, or go certain places and don't go certain places, does not necessarily mean I'm righteous. And young children oftentimes will have trouble, and they'll think that they're better than, you know, lost Joey or lost Susie over here, because... Do we have Joey's or Susie? We have a Susie, sorry. Lost Joey or lost Susie because, well, look how I dress. Look how I talk. And they're comparing themselves to those that aren't the standard. The standard of righteousness is Christ. And so let's not search our own glory. And let's understand that just because children are trained in such a way that they may go to the Christian school, that they look at everybody at the public school as bad and evil. That just because they go to church, that those that don't go to church are bad and evil. Now, yes, we'd like them to go to church, but we need to understand the reason that they probably don't go to church is because they're lost and they need to be saved. And so let's give grace, amen, in our life. Let's not allow our Christianity to be a rod of pride in our own life, where we think that we are better than the lost, because you know what? We're not better. We're just different.
Right.
We're saved. We have the Spirit of Christ. And if anything, we should show them the love and compassion and the goodness of God to lead them to repentance, and not to be an offense to them and a stumbling block where they can't come to Christ because we're a hypocrite.
Yes.
And that's what pride can do. So let's be careful, amen. It's horrible. Pride is horrible. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Okay, let's go. More pride. Proverbs 11. There's a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs. Probably 30, 40 verses on pride here in the book of Proverbs. Now, we're not going to cover them all, but there's... You see, it's good to have confidence... Confidence in yourself, but it has to be understood.
Yes.
Clarity in situations bring confidence. We want our children, we want to have confidence in what we can do, but that confidence needs not to be wrongly placed. So let's try to understand this, and hopefully some of these verses can bring it out. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. There again, we saw that the humble in spirit is better, with the lowly is wisdom. Wisdom is not found where pride is, because pride thinks, I already know it. You don't have to tell me anything. I'm so much better than that. I already know that. No, we need to be open to receive wisdom and instruction in our lives. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Verse 10. We brought this out when we were talking about the angry man. Only by pride cometh contention. Why? Because one person thinks that they are so right. And they're going to fight against that other person with their opinion that this is how it is, and that's it. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 15. This one's serious. Proverbs 15. Because we have examples in the Bible of where he did this. Proverbs 15 and verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Naaman, Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, Herod, other example, the barn builder, the one who had so much, where should I bestow all my fruits? I'm going to build bigger barns and greater barns, and I'm just going to take my ease and rest. He's going to destroy your house if you're proud. But he will establish the border of the widow. That's interesting. Why that contrast there? The widow is trusting in the Lord. The widow is placing her confidence in the Lord. Especially in Bible days, widow, if you were a widow, you were desolate. You had nobody to help take care of you. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And how true is that? This is biblical truth. And this is like things that are just, again, we live in a Christian nation for the most part. Our foundations had biblical principles, and a lot of these things are just ingrained in our society, and younger or older generations grew up on these principles from attending church and even TV programs back in the day and cartoons. They just had principles to them. There's no principles. Biblical principles in our society anymore, and that's why our nation is being torn, the very fabric that established it. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Very similar to the last one. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But look at the contrast. Before honor is humility. Oftentimes, those that think they're going to be honored because of their pride, it's the exact opposite happens. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 6, you got right before the model prayer there, you have three examples of pride. Three examples of individuals that are tooting their own horn. They're sounding their trumpet, the Bible says. They're going to fast, and they want everybody to know that they're fasting, and so their face is sullen, they're not washed, the Bible says. God said, listen, you have your reward. You got the empty appraise and applause of man. But is that what we're searching after? The empty praise of man? Because you know how fleeting that is? It comes and it goes.